We're following Mem Gimel on the base. About 10 lines up. So more about Machlokes. That what the Chiyuvei Ksuba, when do they take effect? Her right to collect from the Kuchas. So Huna said, Mana Messiah is from Erisin to Sephiroth is from the Suman. Did Rav Huna say that the modern Messiah take place from the Erisin? She produced two ksubas. The earlier ksuba said 200, and the ksuba which was dated later says 300. Okay.
Now, why would there be two ksubas?
There shouldn't be two ksubas. But she has two documents of a ksuba. Okay. So, Vamar Rav Huna, she can't collect both. So, Basaligus Masayim, Kavim Isman Rishon, Shalosh Meis, Kavim Isman Sheni. So, we say what happens is that if she says that the first one is the real one, she can collect from the date of the first one, the date written in the Ksuba. So she has the advantage of the earlier dates. So any property which was sold after that date, she has the right to collect. It's Meshubit. She only collects 200. She wants to collect 300. She's forced to forgo the earlier date and use the date of the second Ksuba, which means any property which he sold between the two dates, the date of the first document, the second document, she would not have a right to. Okay. So, but the Mora says, if this is true that the chiyuv of the Messiahim, the one of the Messiahim, we're here, it's Messiahim, she's a psula, is from the time of the Erisin, and the Tzefis, 300 is the Tzefis, is only from Zan Nesuin. Tigbi Messiah is Man Rishon, Mayim is Man Sheni. So, why don't we argue the letter collects 200 from the earlier date, which you say that is the date of the Chiyuv of that, which is Erisin, and the Tosefis Schus, he wrote the second document, including everything, but it wasn't to supersede the first document. It was to add in the Tosefis, which only takes effect later on. So you hold like Rav Asi that everything is only from the Suan. There's only one date for both of them. Morris is back. Okay. Well, the Temech, that you're allowing two documents, so maybe the whole second document is adding on to the first document. And Tigbi Chomesh Meus, Kulam, collect the whole 500. Mizmaim is on Rishon. Thus, Mayim is Mancheni. So, why is that not true? El Chomesh Meus, my time will look at you. Because keeping the law, cost of law, tibisi by sibis lecha tlos meya amasayim. I so desired, and I'm adding on another 300 onto your original 200. They didn't write that as a language in the second ksuva. So you understand what is happening. So Hagakimalov, this is what he's telling her. I'm willing to add another 100, but I want to move the date to a later date. So, imizman rishon gavias gavim asayim, imizman sheni gavias gavias losmeya. So, the reason why you don't collect 500 is because since he did not write, he's adding this onto the original. We say what he's doing is he's writing a document which is coming in some way to supersede the first document. We're understanding that, and Rav Huna's understanding doesn't mean it's coming to supersede it totally. It's coming to, what it's coming to do is to say you're allowed to use the first document if you want. You'll have the advantage of the earlier date, if you so desire. If you want to get more, you'll have to use the later date.
What's the
What's the advantage of using the earlier date?
Any property sold between the first document and the second document, you lose your lien on if you use a later date. So she has a right to more money, but if he sold off some of his properties, he doesn't know what to collect from, and what does it help her? Okay. So if that's true, that's why you don't collect the 500. We don't look at it as a total 500. We look at it as either 200 or 300. So therefore, Hachanami, that your question was, according to Rav Huna, yes, I understand you don't collect 500, but you should collect 300, 200 from the earlier date, 100 from the second date. Well, the same way you understand that the language over here, since it was not written to be understood as a Hosafa, we look at it as two independent documents. So furthermore, I'll say the same thing in regards to your question. Hanatam El Gavya, she doesn't collect the 300 from the later date. What he's offering her is that you can either use the first document and get 200 from the earlier date, or be meichel that chiyuv and get 300 from a later date. But he's not giving her the 300 as a hosaf. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Rashi's in the first, the second line of the medium-sized lines at the bottom. Six lines up. Achash HaMasayim, Himukdamis, the Dafka Kesedanaka, the story which we're discussing, the two documents were in order. The earlier one was 200, the later one was 300. She can only get one. But she has the advantage to collect, use either one as she wants. If she wanted to collect the 200, why would she want to collect only 200? Because he sold some properties between the two dates. If she uses the later document, which is a larger amount, the date of the purchases of the people's purchases was before the date of the document. So she wants to use the larger document, larger amount. She can't go get access those properties. So she wants to use the earlier document, Goyim Masayim, she can collect that. But Rebbe Lekuchas Vizman Akosta, but she has the right to collect from Lekuchas from the earlier date. Now, Vimisa, the Sabra of Una, Charishan, Vizman Rishan, the seventh Vizan Sheni, that in general, the primary Ksuba is from the time of the Erisin, and the seventh only takes effect later. So one of them said that's what's happening here. So say that what's happening is he's arranging it. The 300 really means the 200 from an earlier date plus another 100 now. So Morris says, well, why don't you collect 500? The answer is why not? The Kimelo Ksiv Bob Ksuba Shni, since in the second Ksuba doesn't say Tzvisi Vasivis Loch plus Mea Masayim, that I've so desired and am adding on 300 onto your 200. He doesn't mean to add this as in addition to the first document. And you can only collect the second one if you're willing to forgo the first one totally. So in regards to your question as well, I'm adding 100 onto the original 200. He didn't write that. Elokosav Zman Shani Lakola Shulach Meyas. He wrote a later date for all 300. Not in a language that it's adding on to the original document. Shrami Noah, that this document is only valid if a chilta the shibud akama, if she's willing to be meichel the earlier shibud. If he wants to collect from the second star, she hit with the larger amount, she must use a later date. When we write a regular ksuba and we add in a hoysafa, on the basic ksuba of 100 or 200, by we write Vasifis law amai the tikkun rabbanon. So in Rav Huna's world, remember that the 100 and 200 take effect earlier. The Tosefos law takes effect later. So even if it's one document, why don't we have a problem? That the Hosafa is superseding the earlier Chiyuv, and if he writes the Ksuva right before the Nesuin, we should say that it should take away the Shibud Kama from the time of the Erisin. He said, no, because you write in the Ksuva, the Lashon of Hosafa. She not be Meichel original Shibud, and therefore the Chiyuv Banam Asayim, which is there from the time of the Erisin, is not Nimchal due to the star being written before the Nesuin and adding a Hosafa. Okay. So the Gemara, Amar Mar, back in the Gemara, the third line. Yiboy b'hai gav. She has the rights to collect with either star. That's what Rav Huna basically said. So lema pligi to Rav Nachman. This seems to argue Rav Nachman. Then, Amar Rav Nachman. Shnei shtaris. You have two shtaris, not necessarily in a situation of Ksuba. Let's say a case of a sale, and this it's the same protagonist through Reuben and Shimon, but they have the same transaction, just a later date. It's a Sarishan. So the second one automatically overrides the first one. So why don't we say over here? According to Nachman, we should say over here that the second ksuba would automatically override the first ksuba, and she cannot choose which one to collect from. So Rav Huna is arguing with Nachman. So where it says no, Lav mi itmar lo, didn't we say in regards to the statement of Rav Nachman? Amar Papa, the Papa said, Umar Rav Nachman, the oisib adikla. Let's say it was a case of a sale of a field. And the second star extended the field a little bit further. He added one more palm tree. So the second document is adding something. L'tosef is kasve. He doesn't mean to supersede the first star. And whatever rights he has from the earlier date, he doesn't lose. He just means to add something. So... if that's true over there, so Chanami Ha'osiv Lamidi. Over here, he's adding another 100. So we don't see that the second document is automatically overriding the first document. What we do say is the way it's written, not in the language of Tosefos, means you get more, but you're forced to use the later date. Okay, Gufa. Okay, so that's what we have so far. Something more pshita. This point I'm clear about. Rishon b'mecher, sheni b'matana. In the first star, he wrote the language of mechira.
Mechira.
And the second star, he wrote a language of Matana. So the Yapas Kaikahuda Kasubli. So he's coming to strengthen the person's rights to the property. Because There is an advantage of a matana over a mecher. What is that? Mishum dinah de bar mitzvah. So, if a property is up for sale, and one of the neighbors, one of the people who has a property adjacent to the property for sale, has first rights to buy the property. It's called bar mitzvah. Because for him, it's a tremendous advantage. He'll have one large field expanding his property. See, his first rights. Meanwhile, Reuben told it to Shimon, who did not have any adjoining property. So the luck is that the bar mitzvah can go to Bezin and force the field to take. He can take the field. He has to pay him, but he can take the field. So it's not. But that's only true by a mecher, not by a matana. So Reuben gives Shimon the field as a matana. The bar mitzvah, the b'nei mitzvah have no power over it. By writing the second shtar as a matana, he's giving him an advantage over the first shtar, which is written as a mecher, that now he's looking at it as a matana, and the bar mitzvah have no rights to it. Okay. Okay, so what does that mean? So even if there's no, the second shtar is not adding any more property, it didn't add a dekel, it's the exact same piece of property, but since he changed the language to a matana, he doesn't mean that the second shtar should move out to the first shtar, it's coming to add on to the first shtar, but any rights that he has on the first shtar, from the date of the early date, doesn't lose. As Renach was saying before, the second star overrides the first star, you can only use the second date. Now we're saying that that's not true. I have a scenario where you can hold on to the first date, the second star is just coming to add on more rights. The bar mitzvah can't take the property.
If that's the only thing it's adding, I mean, does he get the money for the field back?
No.
So this sounds like a method to make sure that bar mitzvah never can do anything.
Well, yes and no. If he pulls out the document from the first date, you go back to Rapuna's situation. He can't use both documents simultaneously. So if there's somebody who comes along with some type of a loan type of situation, saying he has rights to property, so he has rights to property which is sold. Those are rights to property which is gifted. So you'll pull out. He has, but if somebody comes along between the dates of the two shtaris that he was given some rights to the property. So if you use the second shtar, Shimon is law is losing because his date is after the earlier transaction. But if he uses the first one, he's vulnerable to bar mitzvah, so he's going to have to choose which star to use.
So it sounds like this is an instance where the purchaser and seller need to be more confident. On Monday, you write it for sale, transfer the money. On Tuesday, you write it as a matana. You don't tell anybody about it on Monday. And Tuesday, you announce it. And then you hide the first document. For good, the money's transferred. You've locked out everybody else. I mean,
it's possible.
Why wouldn't everyone always do it that way? What's the downside?
I have no interest in being. If I don't necessarily have a specific relationship with you, why should I want to do it for you?
So I'll give you a little extra cash.
Okay.
What?
We'll talk about it.
I mean, yeah, treat it as title insurance.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think Chazal were necessarily approving of it. They're just saying this is you know, what's happening. Now the Mora says, now what about the other way around? Makoshka Rishon b'matana v'sheni b'mecher. Should the reading did the Balkai with the custom cane? So if everything is the same, the pieces of property. I'm sorry. The Baal Koyev has a right to collect from a piece of property which is gifted as well. But it's actually in that situation, Matana is worse. Well, we'll see in a second. If Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and then a Baal Koyev comes and collects the field, there's Machlokes of the Gemara. We hold that a Christ says sofer, Rameir holds a Christ says sofer, that when he wrote him, Reuven sells the field to Shimon, and then comes along Beryl and collects the field from Shimon, saying, I had a loan on Reuven, and I had a lien on this field, and I'm collecting the field. Shimon goes back to Reuven and says, gets his money back. He has a Christ. Even if you don't write a Christ in the karka, so even if you don't write a krayis in the shtar, the assumption is that there's a krayis. But matana, Shimon can't go back to Reuven and say, I want to get reimbursed for the fact that I lost my matana. You can write a matana with a krayis. Matana written in the krayis has a din of bar metzra on it. Bar metzra. Because it's functioning similar to a sale to some extent. So if you want to protect yourself from bar metzra, you're not going to be protected from gavia, from lekuchas, from a malva. So if you have the first one as a matana, and the second one as a mecher, it's a way, I'm giving you that one mishum din the balkoiv, who's the cost of ken. I'm giving you you're protected. If a balkoiv collects the field, you'll have recourse. So I'm adding something that way. Eli Shtem b'mecher or Shtem b'matana, but if both are mecher or both are matana, Bittul Shevi has a rishon. So what Rav Nachman holds is that the second one overrides the first one. The conversation ends there. My time up. So why does Rav Nachman say that? Rafa Mamar Emer Oduye Oidile. What he's doing with the second document is it's equivalent of admitting that there's something wrong with the first document. The first document was not true. So that's from the Baal, the person who writes the shtar is the one who's the nischayev. Over here, Reuven is giving away his field, is being murdered. There's something wrong with the first document. He had no right to it. No, I don't want to say like that. That's Shimon, who already has it. Once Shimon has the document already, it's Shimon's Hoidua by accepting the second shtar. He's being murdered. The first one is not valid. Rav Acha says he's not necessarily being murdered the first one, not valid. He's being moichel and he's chusim that he has on the first star, but he's not. It's just it's a mechila. Versus my benayu. So ik benayu, what was the difference between these two pshatim? Aruye sahadi has he undermined the validity of the witnesses? If he's being murdered, the first document is not correct. So he's undermining the edim of the first document. If you use different edim for different documents, he's undermining that. Now, Rashi says he would pass on the first edim, which the Tosafos says that's a pella. You can't pass on the first edim. You have none of the pass on the edim. What it would mean is for you, it would pass on the edim. If you're coming along and saying this first document, which Reuven put these Edim, it's not a good document. What you're saying is that there's something wrong with the Edom. So if you have other documents with those Edom, you can't use them anymore. Shimon, by doing so, is losing his excuse to use those Edom for other purposes. Okay. L'shlumei peri. If he would have to, if Reuven would come to Shimon, okay, you would accept the second document. So means that the sale really only took effect on a later date. You know, you took produce from the field. I want my produce back. So Reuven could do that to Shimon according to Raphram, because it's a hoidah. But according to Rav Acha, it's just a mechila on the shiburim of the star, but I'm not losing my right to the paris. Ulataska, who pays the tax on the property? The property tax. So according to Raphram, Reuven has to pay the property tax because there's this process of hedor on Shimon's part that the sale wasn't until later. So Reuven has to pay the property tax. According to Rav Acha, Shimon has to pay the property tax. So Shimon's going to pay back the payers, Reuven pays the property tax. So, but those are the differences between the two pshatim. Okay. My Havi Lo D'Ksuva. Let's just finish up the Rashi tomorrow. So what's the regards to this machlokes we had before? What's with the ksuv? What's the halacha? Tashma damer Rabbi Yehuda and Rishmo Mishum Rabbi Elot the Beruvos of Rabbi Shimon Malam Asayin the Erisin the Zevach Zemin and the Suin V'chamer Armechad Zevach Zemin and the Suin V'chazach Zevach Zemin and the Suin. Okay. So that means even if the language is the language of Tosefis, it means that it doesn't mean to leave the din of the Erison intact. But he means to, by writing the document by the time of the Suman, he means to move all the she's Merkel original Shibud, and all of the Chiyuvim now take effect from the Suin and onwards. Okay. Let's hold it here.